Man, it's good to see each of you that were able to make it out tonight. Looks like we might be a little on the slim side, but I'm thankful for what I'm feeling in my heart and thankful for those that are here with us tonight. We do have not a business meeting, but some update business to give you after the message tonight. And I'd say we'll probably do that even before prayer time. I think that'd be the way to do it. But real excited about how the Lord's been leading and what he's been giving. I know we've usually on Wednesday nights been having, I guess what you say, a Bible book study, but the Lord's kind of led it a little bit different way, and I'm thankful for that, because I'll be honest with you, from week to week, if you have a study, you say, well, I know I'm going to be in the book of Jonah next week. Well, I can tell you honestly, Lord willing, I don't know where we'll be next week. I don't know. Sometimes you just have to trust him, don't you, and follow him, and I think that's something that he's teaching me in my life, and this message absolutely goes along with that. So if you will, let's turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18. Going to look at about four verses there, and then turn over to Romans for just a few minutes. I don't want to be or plan to be too long, but I do want to get out what the Lord's laid on my heart. I know that he does things for a reason, and this topic's been on my heart even from the last message that we had, I guess, last week. And this is part, I kind of mentioned it a little bit last week, and just kind of where the Lord still led me. And before I forget, I do want to make an announcement as far as Sunday morning. Brother Nono will be with us Sunday morning, and he will be taking the Sunday school time to give a time of update. And then also he will be preaching during the preaching time. So I wanted to let you know about that. And he called me a few weeks ago wanting to come and update the church, and that was the Sunday that he could do it, and that worked out there. So just wanted to share that with you. But and just to get our minds started on what I'm talking about tonight, how many of you tonight would say that you are pliable? Pliable. Would you say that you're a pliable person, or would you not say you're a pliable person? I'm getting a lot of smiles. I'm getting, you know, the word pliable, I don't know that the word itself is in the Bible, but I believe the context that we'll bring out tonight will show that. But the word pliable means to be easily to be bent, that readily yields to pressure without rupture, without breaking, or without bursting. So I believe that if you see in the definition of the word pliable, I don't think that that's a bad term. I think sometimes people get the word compromise mixed up with things and thinking if I am a pliable person, or if I'm easy to bend or readily yield to bend without breaking, that maybe I'm not being, maybe I'm compromising. But I don't believe that always that if we are pliable, that means we're compromising. Husbands, I'll say this. Husbands, when you're working or dealing with your lives, is it important to be, or with your wives, is it important to be pliable? Amen. Hey, front row says yes. Amen. Can a person be bent until they break? Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, I think in our minds, we have kind of been throughout the years maybe, and I understand taking a stand, and I firmly believe in that, but I tell you, when you have a relationship with God, he expects give and take, does he not? I don't think God wants to break anybody, do you? I mean, I really don't. I don't think that is what God wants to do. You know, in my life, I feel like he is wanting the least resistance possible from me. Because the least I resist him, the more he knows that I trust him. He knows my heart is having a relationship with him. And he's like, well, if I tell Jason to do something, he's readily able to do it. He's being pliable. That means he trusts me. The problem is sometimes, and I brought these here. I brought some. Brother Nathan had a hammer in the parking lot. And I said, man, I said, what you brought's a lot harder than what I brought, but I brought these. I think it's good sometimes to have an illustration here. So these are just two sticks that I found out in the yard. Dead sticks. That's where they were. They'd fallen out from the from the trees there. And a lot of times what happens in our yard, we have a lot of trees around the house, and you have any kind of storm or whatever come through, you'll find a lot of sticks in the yard. But most often what you find are dead sticks that broke off. This isn't pliable. This isn't usable. I promise, Miss Miller, I'm not going to try to make a mess or anything, but this right here is not pliable. That took nothing. That took nothing to do. It took nothing to do that. It wouldn't make a good weapon. It doesn't really make anything good but kindling to be burned and to be thrown away. There's really no benefit to it. Now, when it was attached to the tree and it was alive, it was pliable. It was worth something. It was usable. But you know, so this right here, that's pliable. Isn't that something? Out of the same yard, but look, I mean, look at that. Now, I could probably break it. Now, I'll tell you, if the Lord wants to break you, He can break you, any one of us. But look at that. That's kind of impressive. You know, I was thinking about it. Bray said, what's this for? I said, I'm going to talk about whipping. I said, no. She said, you better not. I said, no, I'm not. But I did get a few looks as I walked in. But you look. Now, young person, if you had to go and pick out your switch, where's my baby boomers at? You'll get this. Which one would you pick? Which one would you pick? Josh is doing this. Yeah, which one would you pick? I mean, you know, that's not pliable. I mean, that right there, kind of just glance off of. You might hurt a little bit, but not so much. But this little thing here, I mean, it has a tendency just to kind of wrap around. Kind of stick with you a little bit, you know. So you look at it, it's thinner. It looks flimsier, but I tell you, it's amazing that this is stronger than this. You wouldn't think that. This, as of a few minutes ago, was still attached to a tree. It was still attached to the power source that had it, that was running through it, and this has been broke off and dead for a while. This isn't pliable, but this is. Which one do you think would make the better weapon? I mean, think about that. Isn't that something? This is more pliable. You know, I believe that's what the Lord wants us to be. You see here, I don't think He wants to break us and go around breaking His children, but He will if He has to. He does what He has to do to get our attention, but when you think about your lives and how we are supposed to move together with Him, He wants us to move along with Him and be pliable. You see, what He asks of you today might be different than what He asks of you tomorrow. You don't know. You don't know what you're going to face. You don't know what He's going to ask you to do. You don't know how He's going to ask you to do something or what kind of faith that it's going to take. But what I've learned in my life, Brother Tim, it usually takes more, and it takes more. And He wants to have that relationship. We see here in Jeremiah chapter number 18, verses 1 through 4. This is the Lord talking to Jeremiah, and it's talking about the nation of Israel, about how the nation of Israel has been disobedient. And how the Lord wants to rework them into something that can be used again. You know, an old dead stick, it's really hard to be used for anything. I mean, you could take a good pliable piece of something and you could weave it together and make a basket. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do with things that are pliable. You can mold it into something. You think about what it's talking about here. This is talking about the potter's house, and it's talking about how the Lord is going to do another work or do a new work. Now, this is absolutely to the nation of Israel, but it'll apply to you and me tonight also in our personal lives. It says here in 18:1, it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. God, I thank you for everyone that's here tonight, Lord, that's been able to be here. God, I thank you for those that are listening online, God, and we pray for them also. I know there's some that wish that could be here and aren't, God, and we thank you for them and their faithfulness, even if it's online, God. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for those that make the journey here Wednesday after Wednesday and able to be here, God, and we always pray that it be a blessing, an encouragement, that we could learn and grow deeper into you, Lord, into having a closer relationship with you, God, and Lord, just so many things, Lord, that's going on around about us in our lives, our personal lives, our church life, God, and just I know so many things that could be burdensome tonight, God, but also just so many praises to bring to you tonight, God. We just thank you for that. It's amazing to see how you work in the details of things in our lives and things around us, God. All the little intricate parts, God, how you know those things and you see those things in all of our lives, and you can bring those things together for your good, God. We thank you for that. Lord, we pray for those that are lost in our church. God, we ask you to convict their hearts, God, that they would see that need before it's too late, God. Give us what we need to say, what we need to preach and teach from week to week, God, that they could see and see the gospel clearly and understand it. Lord, go with us tonight, and everything that's said and done, we're going to give you all the praise, all the glory, and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. We see here how the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and how he wants to work with him. He is telling Jeremiah things that he wants Jeremiah to relay to the nation of Israel. And that's really how it works in this day and time also, how he works, mostly how I see it, he'll work through the pastor to work through the church. It's no different. That's how he does. He had prophets in the Old Testament. He has pastors and preachers in the New Testament. That's how he chose it to be, by the foolishness of preaching, to reach the world. That's how he chose it to be. And you see here what you have is the word of the Lord came into Jeremiah from the Lord saying, he's giving him direction. Jeremiah did not get this in the tabernacle. He didn't get this in the Lord's house, if you will. He says, arise and go down to the potter's house where I will cause thee to hear my words. And I take that and you can say, I'm going to take you to a place where you're going to be able to hear what I have to say. And I believe the number one place in this world that if you want to hear the word of God or what the word of God has for you in your life, it's the house of God. I believe this is where he wants to meet with us. He can meet with us anywhere he wants to, on the side of the road, at your house, anywhere he wants to, but by design he wants us to meet here together to hear his word. And that's how he has it set up. I tell you, I think a lot of times people miss out. I think there's the intention of going to church, and when that fails, there's the intention of listening to it online, and when that fails, you just miss out altogether. And you get weaker. You get weaker. If I'm not in the Lord's house, if I'm not in the Lord's book, I get weaker. I need it every day. The further we get down the road, the closer we get on to the how this is going to wind down and end up, the more I know that I need to hear his words, and that's what he's saying here. He said, I will cause thee to hear my words. The Lord has a way of doing that. If he's wanting to get your attention over something, he has a way of doing that. But let me tell you something. He wants you to be pliable. Parents, let me ask you something. Do you enjoy trying to get the attention of your children? Is that a joyful thing versus when you can actually sit down and have what I would say is a reasonable conversation? You can tell sometimes when they're not listening and it's something you really want to relay to them, it's important. They really need to see this, they really need to understand this, and maybe they're looking off somewhere and not thinking. You don't know if they're getting it or not. That's not the relationship that God wants to have with us. He wants it to be a personal relationship where it's not a battle back and forth. He wants us to hear his words, and he wants us to hear his words the first time. You know, he's a merciful God, a forgiving God, but he wants to have that relationship with us where we are listening to him. He's saying here, I will cause thee to hear my words. But you know, Jeremiah was obedient to go and to listen. It wasn't just him. You know, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. He had a burden for Israel. All the perils that they were going through at this time, he had a burden for them, and he wanted to see his nation be what it should be. And tonight, church, I want you to know I have a burden for us. I want us to be what the Lord wants us to be. I'm afraid. I thought about this on the way to church tonight. I'm afraid sometimes we think that the finish line is so close that all we have to do is just kind of coast out of here. And I don't believe that's the case. What if we have another 50 years here? What if we have another 100 years here? Are we teaching our children? Are we building a future? Are we kind of just like, well, the Lord's coming back, and so we just don't have to do anything anymore? There's plenty of lost people. There's a lost generation out there. There's a generation coming on behind us that needs to hear the word of God, and they need to see the burden that we have. It only gets less and less, by the way. Very rarely, very seldom. I mean, when I say in my life that I see a generation grow a stronger burden as it goes, it usually gets less and less. The light usually gets dimmer. That's worrisome to me. That's burdensome to me. We need to be pliable. We need to be usable by God. It says here in verse number 3, it says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." He performed a work. I want to tell you tonight, God wants to do a work in our lives. He wants to do a work in our church, but consequently, it means he's got to do a work in our life. If we don't come to church with a burden, if we don't come to church ready to learn with a burden or study, then what are we really doing? What are we doing? You ever stop by and or just stop and think? Have you ever asked yourself, now, what are we really doing here? What are we doing here? What's our goal? What's our mission? Well, it's to see lost people saved. Well, what are we actually doing to see that happen? What do you do on a daily basis? I think about that a lot. You ever think about if I could just reach out to one person every day, just in some way, not even just sharing the gospel, but just so, show some kindness that this person knows, hey, somebody's here that cares about me. You know, you really have to get a rapport, gain a rapport with people before they're going to listen to you. That's just how it is. I could go on social media and I could blast people left and right, but I promise you, it's not going to change anything. It's a waste of breath. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of typing. It doesn't mean anything. You sit down with somebody that looks like they're having a bad day and you show them that you care about them and you come to them in kindness and love, I think you got their attention. This world just doesn't have a whole lot of that. It's not like that anymore. It's not like that a whole lot of times. People are looking for that kindness. They're looking for the love of God, even if they don't understand what it is. They're looking for something. And he went down and he saw this work that was taking place. You know, you have something that is old that can't be reused or something that's not pliable, it's just going to break. You think about clay. You think about what clay is. I know this is wood tonight, but you think about clay. If it's some old pot or some dry pot, it's very easy to break. You take a dry pot, Brother Allen, and drop it on the ground, it'll probably just shatter because it's frail, it's brittle. But you take something like a piece of clay, which is still clay, it's the same thing, but it's in a different form. You add some water to it, you can make it pliable. You can use it. It's something else, and this is something that the potter does with his hands. It says here, he wrought a work. He did a work. It's no different in our lives. Now, I know that a piece of clay doesn't have emotions, doesn't have feelings, doesn't have a say, doesn't have a choice, but guess what? What are we made out of? The dust of the earth. Isn't that something? Isn't that kind of symbolic? You think about clay, guess what? We're made out of that same kind of thing. You know what? We can dry up too. We dry up, we fall on the ground, guess what happens? We shatter. Same thing. But isn't it something that there's a potter that's willing, somebody that's willing to take your broken life or life that's getting ready to be broken and add some moisture to it and actually do something with it? Mold with his hands. I've said this before, and I've thought about it a lot this week. It is an awkward feeling when God places his hands on you, but you know why he does that? He's writing a work. He's wanting to make something. He's wanting to do something. That's not something that we should try to resist or move from. I think sometimes we're just a stake that's drove in the ground that does not want to be moved, and God says, you're going to have to move with me. You're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to move with me. You trust God once for salvation, but you trust Him every day afterwards for everything else that happens. You know what that takes? That takes new mercies every single morning. That takes new grace every single day. That takes new faith every day. That's a pliable relationship that we're supposed to have with Him. He takes us and He moves us, and that's what He's doing here. He's wrought a work. But look at verse number 4. It says, "And the vessel that He made of clay was marred." The vessel. You look at the word vessel, that means something containing. That's what a vessel is. It's very simple. We use vessels all the time. You have vessels that holds water, food, gas in your gas tank. You see what a vessel is? It's something containing. Well, you know what you and I are? We are something containing. If you're saved tonight, Your vessel is containing the Holy Spirit. Is that not amazing? God can work on you on the outside, but he wants to work on you on the inside. He wants the inside to be moved. He wants the inside to be pliable. You know, when you talk about people being lost, people that have denied Christ for a long time, maybe up in years, getting older, and they've not accepted the Lord, you say they have a heart of stone, right? Or could. Calloused, heart, hard-hardened. The longer you go without accepting Christ, the harder your heart gets. You know what that means? That means less pliable. We've heard preachers pray, when you pray about revival, when you pray about things in life, what does preachers pray? Lord, I want my people to have the hardest heart that they can have. No, he said, Lord, soften our hearts. You know what that means? Make it pliable. Make it usable. Make it bendable without breaking. See, God wants us to have a relationship with him that we move with him and we don't break. I think sometimes we get so set in our ways that we would just rather sit there and break than do what God would have us to do, thinking that we're doing right. That's not how he wants it to be. You look at it, and the more I study, the last few weeks, the more I study, when I see my frustration with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, I see how they were when they walked. Jesus was with them, walked with him on this earth. They denied him to his face, and I look at them and say, why did they not accept him? Why were they so hard-hearted? Many mighty works they didn't do because of their unbelief right there in his hometown where he was at. Say, why? Why? Why were they that way? And sadly enough, I see that a lot of times in church. I feel like it's so legalistic that that's how people are looking at it today. I'm setting this way. Well, we're not even doing that. We can't fulfill that. It's not about works. If you're holding on to works, you're not holding on to the Lord. It's that simple. It's that simple and that's plain. You look at this vessel here and what happened to it. Verse number 4, and the vessel that he had made of clay was marred. That means that it was injured, it was hurt, it was defective, it just wasn't right. Something was wrong with it. If it was right, then he wouldn't have to rework it, right? How many broken lives, how many broken hearts do we have? You think about it tonight. Are you really where you are supposed to be with God? Are you walking in step with him? How he would have you to be. Are you doing that? If not, then you're a marred vessel. If I'm not, then I'm a marred vessel. He wants us to be filled with his Holy Spirit, not filled with the world. See that here in just a few minutes. But you see, this vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. It's still in his hand. He wasn't done with it. He didn't want to throw it out. He wanted to use it again. He wanted to make it usable. And to do that, it has to be pliable. When that vessel can't stay in that same state and be used the way the potter wants it to be used, it has to change. It has to change. It has to change. It was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make of it. You know, if you don't feel like you're where you're supposed to be with the Lord and you feel like he's working with you, you need to go with him. Not just say, I'm just going to just be back here. I'm not going to move. I'm not going to go with you, Lord. Just break me. That's not what he wants. He wants you to move with him. He's trying to form you into something else. He's trying to form you into something usable. That's what he wants. And you see here, as the potter seemed to make it good to the potter, as he seemed to make it what he wants you to be. Let's turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll close with this here in just a minute. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I know you've heard it. I know you've heard it many times, but it goes right along with this message about being pliable. Paul is talking here and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, he's talking to those who are saved, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is that good and perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, when you start with here and you see Paul is begging these people, he's beseeched. Beseech means I'm begging you. And when you see a preacher, you see a prophet, you see somebody in the Bible that's begging somebody to do something, he's wanting a response or reaction from them. He's seeking a change. He's saying, I beseech you, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, just the very fact that we're still here, it's the mercies of God that we're even here tonight, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, you've heard that, and we've all heard that. But do you ever think fully what a sacrifice is? What you do with the sacrifice, it's a thing. It starts out as a living, moving, breathing thing. It had to be chosen. It had to be picked out. That's what it was under the law. But you think about your bodies as a living sacrifice, what we have, who we are, who God created us to be. That's the important focus. Now, you take a sacrifice, what do you do with it? We don't do that physically like they did in the Old Testament, but what did they do with that sacrifice? They killed it. They would take it, rather than they'd take it and they'd place it on the altar. That would be sacrificed, the blood would be spilled, and then it would be burnt, and you see how it goes over, you go in the Passover, but you see how things were there. It was to be done away with. Did you know they didn't pick it back up off the altar and take it home? They didn't carry it around. The life that was in that sacrifice is gone. It couldn't be picked back up. A person couldn't go back into that and say, I'm going to revive this. I mean, it's gone. It's done. You see, that's the severity of it. There's no turning back. I'm afraid a lot of times in our lives we fall back into old habits. We fall back into the old things. But you understand, when this sacrifice was made, there was no going home for that sacrifice. It was done. God, or Paul here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying you're supposed to present your body as a living sacrifice. You're supposed to lay your life down. You no longer make your decisions. You no longer run around and do what you would do or what have you. You stop. You belong to somebody else because we're bought with a price. It says here, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You look at the word reasonable, that means not excessive, it means conformable, agreeable. I think a lot of times we don't look at things that God is asking us to do as even being reasonable. Lord, I just don't know that that's reasonable. Lord, you want me to live for you? Lord, I just don't know if that's reasonable. You really want me to go? You want me to go to church twice a week? Is that really reasonable, Lord? I mean, you hear people say it all the time. I can worship you out here in this field. I could be out here fishing tonight. I could be out eating with my friends tonight. I could be doing, and we could have fellowship. Is that too much to ask? Is it reasonable service showing up? Going? Is that reasonable service? Think about it. What is our reasonable service? What do you think God in heaven, when he looks down at us, would say our reasonable service back to him is? What would you think that would be? What's reasonable? What's not excessive? What's conformable? What's agreeable to you? When you look at God and you think about him, you think about he sent his only begotten son down to die for our sins. He said that was reasonable for me to have a relationship with you. The Lord's not asking us to die for him. He's asking us to live for him. That's what that means, being your body's a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. And it says here, you think about this, well, I hear you preaching, brother, you're talking about being pliable, you're talking about being compromising. No. It says here, be not conformed into this world. That means not made to resemble this world. When you're pliable unto God, you don't resemble the world. A pliable person unto the Holy Spirit, under God, will do things that the world will absolutely not do. It just don't make sense. Again, they'll be kind to people. They'll try to reach out to people. They'll try to look after people's souls and try to take care of people, show kindness to people, and not judge people, not be critical of people. I think the spirit of being critical is alive and well, and that's a dangerous thing to be. Do you think God is critical of us? How would that be? If God was not forgiving of us, if he was just critical of every single thing we do. You imagine if God was sitting in heaven, Brother Tim looking down at me and being critical of everything, every single thing I do. Now, that's not to say I'm going to get away with anything. I'm not saying that. But you imagine if he is critical of every single thing, I wouldn't even have a chance. He's loving, He's forgiving. He sent His only begotten Son to die that we would have a way to become pliable, it says right here, to this world, but be transformed. Transforms, that means to be changed and formed, to be renewed. A new person. So I like the thoughts of that. The devil hates that. He wants you to feel like you're locked into the same old, and the only person that is locking you into the same old is you. Nobody else. Not your friends, not your family, absolutely not God. You know the devil can't lock you in the same old? You say, how can that be? Because God gave you a choice. He gave us all a choice. You don't have to be locked into the same old. You can be transformed. And it says here, by the renewing of your mind, that your mind be renewed. One of the things when I look at God's word, I'm not talking about forgetting what I've been taught, forgetting what I've heard preached. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about looking at God's word as being brand new every day. Lord, what do you want to show me today? Brother Bill, you study, you think about this. How many times have you studied God's word, and probably most every time you'll get something new out of it? You might hear one really wonderful message, and that's great. That's wonderful, and it holds its place, but guess what? There's more to it. There's more to it. There's more to it. As the years goes on, there's more to God's word. That's not changing it. We're growing in it, and God expects us to. He wants us to grow in Him. I know more about Brandy today than the day we got married. That's the way it's supposed to be. I need to know more about God today than I did yesterday. But you get in His word, and He shows you things, and He makes you pliable. He tests us. He tries us. He doesn't tempt us, but He tries us. But it's always for our betterment. I think sometimes the most unbelievable things that we face in life, as hard as it may be able to say on the front end of it, on the back side of it, we can see God's mercy, His grace, and our growing with Him if we're willing to go with Him. I think a lot of times the problem is people aren't willing to go the distance with Him. He's there. I don't know what He's going to ask of you. I don't know what He's going to ask of me. But if He's asking you, it's for a reason. And He intends for us to go with Him. He intends for us to trust Him and move on and go with Him. But it says here again, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What would be unreasonable what would be unreasonable to do for our Lord? Be not conformed into this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People want to know all the time, what's the will of God? What's the will of God? What's the will of God in my life? I tell you, you have to be willing to go with Him to find out what that will is. It's not something that you do without faith. He intends us to walk with Him. He intends for us to be pliable with Him, move with Him, not just sit there, I'm going to be stiff, I'm not going to move. He wants us to move with Him, church. I believe that with all my heart. That's the message tonight. That doesn't mean that you're doing something that He's not asking you to do by any stretch of the imagination, but if He's asking you to do something, leading you to do something, He's saying by faith, step out and do it. That's what He's teaching us. I appreciate your good attention tonight, and I will stop right there and for this part and what we can actually do is go ahead and turn off the camera for this. But I do, church, I appreciate your good attention. Appreciate your prayers. Appreciate the